जय राधा माधव पुण्य बिहारी।
And now chapter 58, Krishna marries five princesses. Shukdev Goswami said, "Once the supremely opulent personality of Godhead went to Indraprastha to visit the Pandavas, who had again appeared in public. Accompanying the Lord were Yuyudhana and other associates. When the Pandavas saw that Lord Mukunda had arrived, those heroic sons of Pritha all stood up at once, like the senses responding to the return of the life air. The heroes embraced Lord Achyuta, and the touch of his body freed them of sin. Looking at his affectionate smiling face, they were overwhelmed with joy. After the Lord bowed down at the feet of Yudhishthir and Bhima, and firmly embraced Arjuna, he accepted obeisances from the twin brothers, Nakula and Sahadeva. Faultless Draupadi, the Pandava's newly married wife, slowly and somewhat timidly approached Lord Krishna, who sat on an exalted seat and offered him her obeisances. Satyaki also accepted a seat of honor after receiving worship and welcome from the Pandava's, and the Lord's other companions, being duly honored, sat down in various places. The Lord then went to see his aunt, Queen Kunti. He bowed down to her and she embraced him, her eyes moist with great affection. Lord Krishna inquired from her and her daughter-in-law, Draupadi, about their welfare, and they in turn questioned him at length about his relatives in Dwarka. So overcome by love that her throat choked up and her eyes filled with tears, Queen Kunti remembered the many troubles she and her sons had endured. Thus she addressed Lord Krishna, who appears before his devotees to drive away their distress. Queen Kunti said, "My dear Krishna, our welfare was assured only when you remembered us, your relatives, and gave us your protection by sending my brother to visit us. For you, the well-wishing friend and supreme soul of the universe, there is never any illusion of us and them. Yet even so, residing within the hearts of all, you eradicate the sufferings of those who remember you constantly.
O Supreme Controller, I, King Yudhishthir, do not know what pious deeds we fools have done so that we can see you, whom the masters of yogic perfection rarely see."
Requested by the king to stay with them, the Almighty Lord remained happily in Indraprastha during the months of the rainy season, giving joy to the eyes of the city's residents. Once Arjuna, the slayer of powerful enemies, donned his armor, mounted his chariot flying the flag of Hanuman, took up his bow and his two inexhaustible quivers, and went to sport with Lord Krishna in a large forest filled with fierce animals. With his arrows, Arjuna shot tigers, boars, and buffalo in that forest, along with rurus, sharabas, gavayas, rhinoceroses, black deer, rabbits, and porcupines. A crew of servants carried to King Yudhishthir the slain animals fit to be offered in sacrifice on some special occasion. Then, feeling thirsty and tired, Arjuna went to the bank of the Yamuna. After Krishna and Arjuna bathed there, they drank the river's clear water. The great warriors then saw an attractive young girl walking nearby. Sent by his friend, Arjun approached the exceptional young woman, who possessed beautiful hips, fine teeth, and a lovely face, and inquired from her as follows. Arjun said,
"Who are you, O fine-waisted lady? Whose daughter are you, and where do you come from? What are you doing here? I think you must be looking for a husband. Please explain everything, O beautiful one."
"I am the daughter of the sun god, and my name is Kalindi. I desire to get as my husband the most excellent and munificent Lord Vishnu, and to that end I am performing severe penances. I will accept no husband other than him, the abode of the goddess of fortune. May that Mukunda, the supreme personality, the shelter of the helpless, be pleased with me. I am known as Kalindi, and I live in a mansion my father built for me within the water of the Yamuna. There I will stay until I meet Lord Achyuta." Arjun repeated all this to Lord Vasudeva, who was already aware of it. The Lord then took Kalindi onto his chariot and went back to see King Yudhishthir. Upon the request of the Pandavas, Lord Krishna had Vishvakarma build the Pandavas a most wonderful and amazing city. The Supreme Lord stayed in that city for some time to please his devotees. On one occasion, Sri Krishna wanted to give the Kandava forest as a gift to Agni, and so the Lord became Arjuna's charioteer. Being pleased, O King, Lord Agni presented Arjuna with a bow, a set of white horses, a chariot, a pair of inexhaustible quivers, and armor that no fighter could pierce with weapons. When the demon Maya was saved from the fire by his friend Arjuna, Maya presented him with an assembly hall in which Duryodhana would later mistake water for a solid floor. Then Lord Krishna, given leave by Arjuna and other well-wishing relatives and friends, returned to Dwarka with Satyaki and the rest of his entourage. The supremely auspicious Lord then married Kalindi on a day when the season, the lunar asterism, and the configurations of the sun and other heavenly bodies were all propitious. In this way, he brought the greatest pleasure to his devotees. Vindhya and Anuvindhya, who shared the throne of Avanti, were followers of Duryodhana's. When the time came for their sister, Mitravinda, to select her husband in the Svayamvara ceremony, they forbade her to choose Krishna, although she was attracted to him. "My dear king, Lord Krishna forcibly took away Princess Mitravinda, the daughter of his aunt Rajadidevi, before the eyes of the rival kings. O king, Nagnajit, the very pious king of Kaushalya, had a lovely daughter named Satya or Nagnajiti. The kings who came as suitors were not allowed to marry her unless they could subdue 7 sharp-horned bulls. These bulls were extremely vicious and uncontrollable, and they could not tolerate even the smell of warriors. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of the Vaishnavas, heard of the princess who was to be won by the conqueror of the bulls, he went to the capital of Kaushalya with a large army. The king of Kaushala, pleased to see Lord Krishna, worshipped him by rising from his throne and offering him a seat of honor and substantial gifts. Lord Krishna also greeted the king respectfully. When the king's daughter saw that most agreeable suitor arrive, she immediately desired to have him, the lord of goddess Rama. She prayed, "May he become my husband. If I have kept my vows, may the sacred fire bring about the fulfillment of my hopes." Goddess Lakshmi, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the rulers of the various planets placed the dust of his lotus feet on their heads, and to protect the codes of religion which he has created, he assumes pastime incarnations at various times. How may that Supreme Personality of Godhead become pleased with me? King Nagnajit first worshipped the Lord properly, and then addressed him,
O Narayan, Lord of the Universe, you are full in your own spiritual pleasure. Therefore, what can this insignificant person do for you?
O beloved descendant of Kuru, the Supreme Lord was pleased, and after accepting a comfortable seat, he smiled and addressed the king in a voice as deep as the rumbling of a cloud. He said,
O ruler of men, learned authorities condemn begging for a person in the royal order who is executing his religious duties. Even so, desiring your friendship, I ask you for your daughter, though we offer no gifts in exchange. My lord, who could be a better husband for my daughter than you, the exclusive abode of all transcendental qualities? On your body the goddess of fortune herself resides, never leaving you for any reason. But to ascertain the proper husband for my daughter, O chief of the Satvatas, we previously set a condition to test the prowess of her suitors. These 7 wild bulls are impossible to tame, O hero. They have defeated many princes, breaking their limbs. If you can subdue them, O descendant of Yadu, you will certainly be the appropriate bridegroom for my daughter, O lord of Shri.
Upon hearing these terms, the Lord tightened his clothing, expanded himself into 7 forms, and easily subdued the bulls. Lord Shaori tied up the bulls, whose pride and strength were now broken, and pulled them with ropes, just as a child playfully pulls wooden toy bulls. Then King Nagnajit, pleased and astonished, presented his daughter to Lord Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead accepted this suitable bride in the proper Vedic fashion. The king's wives felt the greatest ecstasy upon attaining Lord Krishna as the dear husband of the royal princess, and a mood of great festivity arose. Conch shells, horns, and drums resounded, along with vocal and instrumental music, and the sounds of Brahmins invoking blessings. The joyful men and women adorned themselves with fine clothing and garlands. As the dowry, powerful King Nagnajit gave 10,000 cows, 3,000 young maidservants wearing golden ornaments on their necks and bedecked in fine clothing, 9,000 elephants, 100 times as many chariots as elephants, 100 times as many horses as chariots, and 100 times as many manservants as horses. The king of Kosala, his heart melting with affection, had the bride and groom seated on their chariot, and then he sent them on their way, surrounded by a great army. When the intolerant kings, who had been rival suitors, heard what had happened, they tried to stop Lord Krishna on the road as he took his bride home. But just as the bulls had broken the king's strength before, the Yadu warriors broke it now. Arjun, wielder of the Gandiva bow, was always eager to please his friend Krishna, and thus he drove back those opponents who were shooting torrents of arrows at the Lord. He did this just as a lion drives away insignificant animals. Lord Devaki Suta, the chief of the Yadus, then took his dowry and Satya to Dwarka and continued to live there happily. Bhadra was a princess of the Kaikeya kingdom and the daughter of Lord Krishna's paternal aunt, Shrutakirti. The Lord married Bhadra when her brothers, headed by Santadana, offered her to him. Then the Lord married Lakshmana, the daughter of the king of Madra. Krishna appeared alone at her Svayamvara ceremony and took her away, just as Garuda once stole the demigod's nectar. Lord Krishna also acquired thousands of other wives equal to these when he killed Bhaumasura and freed the beautiful maidens the demon was holding captive.
Thus ends the 58th chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Krishna Marries Five Princesses.